VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Even as we begin the program, the nation experiencing this eclipse, and I read a comment from Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis this morning that talks about just what a wonderful creator we have to know that, you know, random chance would not allow us to be able to predict when these eclipses are taking place, but we can know many years into the future because God's universe is one of order. God created the sun, moon, and stars on day four, and what a beautiful phenomenon. We are turning our attention today to the six-month anniversary of Israel's war against Hamas. 6 years ago yesterday, Hamas launched its very deadly attack on Israel. More Israelis were killed on October 7th, 2023, than at any time since Israel became a nation. Some 134 hostages are still being held by Hamas, including hostages from the United States. Yesterday, on the six-month anniversary, Israel announced it had pulled a key division out of southern Gaza Strip. With comment on the six-month anniversary, we welcome back Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jr., speaker, teacher, Mideast guide, videographer, and speaker on Prophecy Today. He lived and worked in Jerusalem for many years before he returned to the States for continued ministry. He's a fully credentialed journalist and has led numerous tours to Israel. And Dr. DeYoung, thank you so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, Jim, it's great to be with you. And Jim, 35 years in the Middle East doesn't make me quite the expert, but a lot of time of boots on the ground in the land doing television tours, working with some of the people that when I first started in 1984 were ministers of government. And you just got to see how they thought and what they were thinking in the process as the world would turn against them multiple times over that period of time.
It's amazing, truly amazing. And we are seeing a world sentiment go very much against Israel, which we'll be getting in more of that today. But October 7th, Brother Jimmy, will be forever a day of infamy as it relates to Israel, the heinous, barbaric slaughter of innocent Israelis from the elderly to infants. It must never be forgotten.
It won't be, Jim. And if you know anything, if you've been to Israel, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been there. Holocaust Remembrance Day and Remembrance Day for fallen Israeli soldiers from the many wars that Israel has been in since its inception, really reconstituted again in 1948, obviously. They were fighting for their very life in 1948. And on those days, they sound a siren throughout the whole country. And everybody stops their vehicles, gets out of their vehicles. I mean, on the major highways, Jim, if you can imagine this, people stand beside their vehicles remembering those that died in the Holocaust and those that died in the wars. And obviously, with what took place on October 7th, which many are calling Israel's 9/11 compared to the United States or Pearl Harbor, with 1,500 deaths, initially 253 hostages taken, you know, with Sunday marking that half year since October 7th, I think that we're going to see in the future, Israel will remember that day. It's a day that, as Franklin Roosevelt said, a day of infamy, and that will last and will, for Pearl Harbor, but for Israel, will be one that they remember for a long time.
Yeah, the prime minister indicated, you know, early on that we're going to be in this for the long haul. We're now 6 months later. Did you anticipate that the war against Hamas would still be going on?
You know, I think, to be honest with you, I thought it would probably be faster, but knowing how much they were entrenched in the Gaza Strip with their tunnel system, I don't even think Israel knew how vast that tunnel system was. And latest reports, just recently, they found a tunnel that went about a couple hundred meters into Israeli territory under the ground.
Amazing.
So I don't think that they really thought, but they knew they were going to be in for a fight.
Yeah, well, the prime minister has pledged to not stop in his quest to root out Hamas, or the same atrocity would happen all over again. And yesterday, though, he did announce, Israel announced a key division is being pulled from the southern Gaza Strip. Help us understand what's going on with that.
Yes, well, I mean, you can imagine the pressure that Prime Minister Netanyahu is under. We've talked about this before on the program. He is under a tremendous amount of pressure. It was on his watch that this took place. He has to respond in kind and wipe out Hamas. And he basically said in the cabinet meeting, which meets on the first day of the week in Israel, which is Sunday, he basically said, we are a step away from victory. They're not going to finish. I mean, they're not going to let anybody else deter them before they finish this fight. But Israel's strongest support and its strongest supporters come from the United States. And so he's under a tremendous amount of pressure from the Biden administration and world opinion. I mean, but we're seeing people that fall down on his side and are kind of, you know, holding up his arms to keep the battle going, to finish the fight. And, you know, but we're seeing those people that claim to be friends of Israel are calling for a ceasefire to get involved. But I think the Biden administration is clearly making its presence felt in this decision process. And I always remind people, Jim, when we look at God's word, the times of the Gentiles, anytime that the Gentile world is in control of the city of Jerusalem or the Jewish people, and that's what we're seeing. But I do think that, you know, the Israeli people, they're in it for the long haul. They want to finish this. And really, you want to carry it to the next step after Hamas. You really need to wipe out Iran.
Yeah, and we're going to be getting more into Iran. You mentioned the statement from the prime minister. I've got a little larger quote here. Said, we are marking today 6 months of war. The achievements of the war are great. We eliminated 19 out of 24 Hamas battalions, including senior commanders. We killed, wounded, or captured a significant number of Hamas terrorists. He went on to say, we cleared Shifa as well as many other terrorist headquarters. We destroyed rocket manufacturing plants, war rooms, weapons, and ammunition caches, and we continue to systematically destroy the underground. We are a step away from victory. Are we? I mean, those accomplishments are significant. That step still seems to be a ways away yet, but there have been many accomplishments along the way.
Yes, and you're right when you talked about the pullout. Now let's talk about that pullout
yes.
for a second. And neither you, myself, or any of American military advisors know what goes on within the war cabinet there in Jerusalem. That meets at the Knesset. That's the area where the prime minister's office is. This is where the war cabinet meets. They have their agenda. So they want to finish this process. If they pulled out, which would look like, you know, President Biden has, you know, made an impact and pulled, and Israel, the IDF, is pulling out of that area, I think it's a pullout to rearm themselves. They said that they have one more enclave, really, in the area of Rafah. So if you think about the Gaza Strip, 25 miles long, right, about 7 miles wide at its widest point, 2 miles wide at its narrowest point. They have started systematically from the north to the south, working their way through. Even after they went through Shifa Hospital, they had to go back in, and they still captured or killed 300 terrorists after they had cleared the hospital, just to show you what they're under, the pressure that they're under as these IDF soldiers. And I believe we're looking at about 600 or so, 600 plus soldiers have been killed in this conflict, this war that's going on. So I believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu, the war cabinet, has pulled back just to rearm themselves and be ready to go back in to finish the battle, which is in Rafah, which is at the southernmost, it borders Egypt. So they're in for the fight when they get down there, and they already have a date. They say, we already have a date that we're going to go into Rafah. So no matter the pressure that the United States government, the United Nations, European Union, whomever is putting the pressure on Israel, they feel like they need to finish this battle.
And I've seen different speculation as to this pullout yesterday, and some have speculated that maybe they're pulling troops to just give them some rest and you know, gaining strength for that next offensive. Some have said, no, this is due to Israel, you know, succumbing to pressure from the U.S., and yet another view has been the pullout could be a response to, well, there's greater conflict coming from the north now with Hezbollah in Syria, and as a result of that, so the many different schools of thoughts at work here on that pullout.
Yes, you know, and they have rearmed, so they're using, you know, you have several of the Israeli Defense Force that are in, right? Every male and every female at the age of 18 goes into the military. The males serve for 3 years, females for 2 years. Obviously, officer candidates and officers serve much longer, and they make it a career, and then they get chosen for the special operations units that fight, and they're the ones that are going in these tunnels. But they also use a lot of reserves. So you stay, it used to be you would stay as a reserve, after you finish your military duty, you would stay as a reservist up until the age of 55. Now, some of that during the peacetime operations, they kind of came back off of that age of 55, but you have a lot of reservists, that are ready to fight and are being called up, and they have all, they were released, and then they were all, to give them a time of rest, like you said, they're being called back in, ready for a conflict that's going to take place in the north. And I think the interesting thing, Jim, and one that we'll talk about, I'm sure, in this program, is Iran still hasn't retaliated, but Israel's on the ready for Iran to retaliate for the assassination of the general in Damascus.
Yes. There's so much to unpack here. Let's talk a little bit further about Rafah, though, this invasion. You said the date's already determined in the prime minister's mind, the IDF, when this is going to be happening. And we know there's great pressure coming from the United States not to launch into Rafah. There's been a lot of civilians that have gone into this area because of being, you know, pushed down from the north. So a little bit further comment about Rafah and why this is such a critical city for the IDF to go into.
Well, you know, when you look, as a believer, I'm not a warmonger. But when you understand war, war is not a pretty situation. Never in any time in history has war been pretty at all. Israel has got to cut the head off of the snake, and that's what they're finishing. They've got to finish in Rafah because Hamas is smart. They're still, they're still retreating. They're hiding in areas. They hide behind human shields. Of course, we know about the schools that these tunnels ran under, the mosque that they ran under. So in order to finish this with Hamas, and Israel's resolve is very much so, they cannot live anymore next to an organization as Hamas as it operates in the Gaza Strip. In fact, there are Israeli families that are saying, look, let us move back in there. If you remember, back in 1986, Ariel Sharon pulled a huge religious community, and it's the religious community, the Orthodox, not the Hasidim, but the Orthodox, these settlers that move into the areas of the and settle these places where they live, and they grow their families. They take their families and they live there, you know, right on the edge. And that's some of the kibbutz that were attacked.
Tell you what, we got to take a break right here. We'll come back to Rafah. We're also going to bring Iran into the picture here, friends, and the threats that are coming from the Ayatollah. So stay with us. We're talking about Israel's war against Hamas, marking 6 months. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists sometimes use bogus arguments for creation?
Unfortunately, they do, Chris. Some favorite arguments that sound so good really aren't well established. Thankfully, there is plenty of good evidence that creationists can use. One example of an outdated argument is the possible human footprints found in the same strata as dinosaur footprints in Texas. Now, I was one of the original developers of this theory and published the authoritative book on it. But the more research we did, the more we saw problems. So I removed my book from the market and we no longer use that claim. I feel it's too ambiguous to use. Now, others still do use that argument, and while I don't oppose them, I do encourage them to use the better evidence. True evidence for creation is strong and convincing, especially as we use that back to Genesis perspective.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today. He's a speaker, a teacher, lived 35 years in the Middle East, and you'll find more information on their ministry at prophecytoday.com. That's prophecytoday.com. Brother Jimmy, we're talking about Rafah and the pressure that is coming from the U.S. not to go in there, the international pressure that's coming not to go in there. But this has got to be a key place where there are many, many in the in Hamas that are taking up residency and protection.
Yes, Jim, you know, and this is normal. They will pull back. They will hide. They will run. They're going through these tunnels to get to areas where they can still protect themselves, and how devastating it is to, you know, have to fight. And when you look at Gaza, you know, the Gaza Strip was an area that was beautiful and looked great. In some places, they would call it kind of the Monte Carlo of the Mediterranean down there. They were building it in such, but if you look at it now, there have been 12,000 terrorists that have been killed. There have been 32,000 targeted sites by the Israeli Air Force. So it's a total area of devastation, and Israel is trying its hardest to work within, you know, the realm of protecting the innocent. But as we have seen over and over, even though they try to protect the children and the women and the men, these people still are the ones that cheer on Hamas in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult process for the IDF to make this trek to go in there to finish the battle, but they're going to have to go down. And even as they do this, and, you know, it's so important, you know, they're asking for a six-month ceasefire. That would just give Hamas the opportunity to rearm and to bring in, I believe, others from other areas of the world, from mm-hmm. Iran, from any area of fighters that they could use to bring them in. And I think that they have seen that in this battle of some of those that have been, targeted, the 1,200 Hamas terrorists that have been taken out. Not all of them are from Israel. There are many from other areas of the world. So I think as you see this, we see that it's so very important that they finish this fight. They can't take time off. And again, Hamas is asking, look, if you release 900 prisoners held in prison, if you give us a six-month break, we'll release 40 hostages.
Uh-huh.
They're holding 90. Now you gave us a statistic. There are 97 hostages that are alive.
Okay.
There are 36 bodies still there. So when you look at that total, that's about 100 and what would you say, 123, 132 that are still there, bodies or hostages in those tunnels that they're being held. And Israel wants to do whatever it can. And that's another aspect that we have to keep in mind. Prime Minister Netanyahu is coming under attack from the families. There are demonstrations, huge demonstrations in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, next to the prime minister's home, all night long, where these families are asking and saying, hey, give us bring our relatives back. So it's a very difficult process right now.
Give us those numbers again. How many hostages alive and how many bodies?
As far as we know, there are 97 hostages still alive, 36 of bodies that are being held by Hamas. And if you know anything, Israel will send out many men to rescue one soldier that dies behind the lines, enemy lines.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine 36? It means so much to them. And they're as much of a bargaining chip as the 97 live hostages.
And you mentioned the ceasefire, too, and the prime minister of Israel has pledged no ceasefire without getting the hostages freed. And he's talking all of them, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's talking all of them. And that's where, and really, I mean, you see Qatar. Qatar is involved in these talks. The talks are being held in Cairo. They're being held in Qatar. You know, they're being held all over the place with many different characters and other terrorists that are involved. Yes, they're just as bad as Iran in the sense of supporting terrorism around the world. So, yeah, when you're dealing with these folks, if you could think of, you know, kind of a scenario where you're dealing with, I don't know, the most despicable people to try to come to some sort of reasonable agreement to decide on to get this. I don't think we're going to see peace in this area until the false peace of the Antichrist in the future. So I think that this is going to be a conflict that could continue.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today on Crosstalk. ProphecyToday.com is a website. Now, let's bring Iran into this picture here. There was a reported Israeli strike in Damascus, Syria, killed, I believe it was a 2 Iranian generals. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, vowed Israel would pay for the attack. Israel's former prime minister, that would be Naftali Bennett, had called Iran an octopus of terror. Its head is in Tehran, and it sends its tentacles all around Israel and the Middle East. Comment on Iran and this killing of the Iranian generals.
Yes, well, I mean, Israel, although they were caught by surprise, and there are many aspects on October 7th, they were caught by surprise that they didn't know what was going to take place. And I talked to a pastor in Jerusalem. You might have had him on your program, Menno Kalashir. Menno is a Bible-believing, born-again believer. He's Jewish. He's a Sabra. He's lived in Israel his whole life, served in the military as a pastor in Jerusalem. He thinks that maybe God allowed this to happen to bring the pride of the Jewish people down to their knees, to get them to look back to God from whence their help will come, right? But now that this has happened, the long arm of Israeli intelligence spreads really the whole earth in the sense of being able to protect the Jewish people. Iran has operated basically a network of proxy terrorists, which that would be Hezbollah, that would be Hamas, that would be the Houthis down in Yemen, and militia groups across the Middle East and beyond for decades, Jim. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Back when the Shah left and, you know, a lot of good people left Iran, it would be so important. And they recently, you know, activated many of them and sparked this war, engulfing most of the Middle East and wreaking havoc on global commerce. I mean, when you look at the situation, they now control the Persian Gulf, which a lot of goods come through. So Iran is really this octopus, as Naftali Bennett, former prime minister, religious man, as is Prime Minister Netanyahu. They're very religious in the Jewish sense. They follow religious Judaism. And, you know, they have all said nothing's going to change until the free world adopts as its goal the overthrow of the world's number one sponsor of state terrorism, and that is Iran. And it all started back, you can even go back to, and it was Prime Minister, President Ahmadinejad, who said and made the statement as if it came out of Psalm 83, we need to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Yeah. And that my father reported on for many years.
Yes.
This is just a thought process that continues to flow through Iran.
Is not Iran's fingerprints just everywhere? I mean, you talk about Hamas, you talk about Hezbollah. Aren't their fingerprints just all over this this matter here and the attack against Israel?
Yes, yes. They want to. And remember, the Persians, Iran is up until 1937 was known as Persia. The Persians have been around, and we can go back through Scripture. We understand that the Persians, they were conquered. You know, they conquered the Babylonians, and then they were overthrown by the Greeks.
Right.
But the Persians have been there trying to wipe out Israel, and, you know, there's a good history of this process that's been going through history. And, yes, they do have a fingerprint. They want world dominance. They're trying to reestablish the caliphate. Now, remember, there are two aspects of Islam, the Sunnis and the Shias. And even in Saudi Arabia, this is why sometimes you see Saudi Arabia is cheering on Israel because they want, they practice different aspects of the Islamic religion, and they want Iran to be wiped off the face of the earth. They're supporting anything that goes on in Afghanistan. They call the United States the big Satan. They call Israel the little Satan. And this is this is not everybody in Iran, Jim. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of Iranians that would like to just be back to, you know, that would love to live their life. There's an underground church in Iran that is growing, but it is certainly underground because you cannot do this with the present government that's in Iran right now.
We also see Israel reeling from a missile strike that killed several World Central Kitchen aid workers, and Israel has apologized for this on many levels. They called it a grave mistake stemming from a serious failure due to a mistaken identifications, errors in decision-making, an attack contrary to the standard operating procedures. This did nothing, really, for their public relations on the worldwide scene, did it?
War is war. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes you've got to understand that. I mean, if we want to start going back and pointing out mistakes in war, I mean, the United States certainly has its share, correct? I mean,
yep.
As they have fought and they have had drone attacks and wiped out families that had nothing to do with any of the terrorist activities that, you know, it was just a simple mistake. This is a simple mistake in, on some, you know, as you say, it could be. We'll never know until this battle is over what really were those men that, you know, were in those convoys.
With rifles.
They were watching it at night. There were muzzle flashes that came from those guns, which is why these two Israeli soldiers or, you know, officers decided to attack and attack quickly. I mean, when you're in that moment, you have to make that decision, a split-second decision, of life or death. And unfortunately, as the world sees it and as they're reporting, the rest of the world and the KitchenAid, you know, organization said, hey, we were just providing food. But were they? We will never know that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always caution people. Look, I don't think Israel, I think Israel can do wrong, but I do think that they're trying with all that they can, with all the technology that's available to them, to not make mistakes.
And they have to stay ever vigilant. I mean, I saw just on the Israel National News today about how Palestinians were caught in a hidden compartment in a bus trying to make its way into Jerusalem.
Yes. This is something, when you live there, we follow the media. And, you know, really, in fact, there's a great comment by by Iran that said whoever has the media in their pocket is the strongest. So if you have media or you have people that are reporting on certain issues, it turns the tide of people.
Yes.
And their thinking as to what is taking place. And we are certainly seeing that in America right now. The media has so much power, and whatever they want to get across, that's why it's very important that you have a biblical worldview and that you understand and you get your sources from different areas. Just like you and I do, Jim, we scour the news items. When we do our weekend program, we report on current events in light of God's prophetic word. So you need to keep a good public, a biblical worldview in order to understand what is going on.
Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr., our guest here today, their website, prophecytoday.com. prophecytoday.com. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
The modern state of Israel has been a nation for over 70 years. When she was formed, most Christians believed there was a real connection with what was going on in the Middle East and Bible prophecy that predicts an end-time return of the Jews to their land. In recent years, a noticeable decline has occurred, especially among young evangelicals who question whether modern Israel really relates to end-time Bible prophecy. In the book, The Case for Zionism, author Tommy Ice answers many of the contemporary arguments being used against Israel. He brings together the biblical, historical, and legal arguments for her existence and the prophetic nature and future of Israel. Dr. Ice lays out the case why Christians should support Israel. VCY is offering The Case for Zionism as our way of saying thank you for a donation of $16 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. is with us here today on Crosstalk as we're taking a look at Israel's war against Hamas. Yesterday marked the six-month day on the calendar since Hamas launched its very deadly and barbaric attack against Israel. Right now, talking about Iran, really the head of the octopus, Tehran, is what it has been called, with its tentacles going around the nation of Israel, coming in from multiple different sources. So, Brother Jimmy, we were just talking about Iran, so kind of pick up where we left off with what our listeners need to know further about Iran and its involvement in all of this.
I think when you look at it, Jim, you got to look at why would Iran employ so many of its proxies simultaneously, like Yemen and the Gaza Strip and Hezbollah and Lebanon, all attacking Israel. We see their imprint in other areas, as you said, this octopus, the tentacles of this octopus and where it's going. There are five converging reasons, I believe. First, Iranian leaders sense weakness in the United States. And not in the history of the United States have we been so weak. You know, we always used to say we were the world leader. I think we're probably number three or four militarily. Now, I'm a very militant. My father served in the military. I support the military. I'm not attacking the United States, but we are weak at this moment. Second, there is both distraction and overextension in U.S. foreign and defense policy. I mean, we don't have the proper people, our secretaries of state and people that are going around that are implementing and using their noggin, I would say. I mean, if anything, it looks like they're going anti of what the United States has been since its inception. Third, the Iranian leadership needs to deflect from internal dissident activity. Now, if you've watched anything, we've seen internally in Iran that they, you know, you have the women that want to get rid of the hijabs. You've got these demonstrations all over Iran. So we're seeing that internally in Iran. Fourth, although individual proxies also have local goals, these also suit Iran's larger strategy of destabilization.
Mm-hmm.
Hard word for me to say on this eclipse day, but okay. So, but you get the point.
Sure.
And finally, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei recognizes his own mortality and wants to see Iranian victory over Israel and the West prior to his own demise.
Hmm.
And he's long been clear in his, his thoughts towards Israel. In 2012, he stated, "We intervene in anti-Israel conflicts resulting in the triumph of the 33-day war, Hezbollah, 2006, and the success of the 22-day war, Gaza, 2008. From this point forward, whenever any nation, any group combats the Zionist regime, we unequivocally stand by them, offering our unwavering support, and we have no qualms about saying this." So they have made it very clear that not only do they want to defeat the West, but number one on their priority list is Israel.
Wow. And that threat from Iran continues. I saw the Jerusalem Post, 28 Israeli embassies around the world closed last Friday due to the threats from Iran.
They're taking this very serious. They're taking it very serious. I'm surprised. You know, on our weekend, we do a weekend radio program, and we've got men from the Pentagon. We've got Israeli journalists. We've got former, mayor of Shiloh and different people like this that are on, and they come in. We had two varying different opinions. One, our commentator, our broadcast partner from the Pentagon said, the CIA is wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. Iran is not going to attack Israel.
Hmm.
And this is another thing that has never been brought up. But Israel has an electromagnetic bomb that could, shut off all the electricity in Iran. Iran can talk tough, but how much this is the same thing. They're getting other people to fight their battles. And then our journalist from our CBS journalist from Israel, who's a longtime friend of our family and ministry and worked together for many years. He said that, you know, Iran is going to retaliate, but it would be through its proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis.
Friends, let's open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr., our guest, our number 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments, 800-733-9829. I'd like to understand also what's going on politically in Israel right now, Brother DeYoung, because we understand that there's internal pressure in Israel as well as rivals of the prime minister calling for elections. What's going on politically?
Yes, it's a battle. It's all about who's on top. And that's the same thing here in the United States. In fact, here in the United States, who's on top is dragging us down further and further. Doesn't matter that who could be on top would make America a strong defense and defender around the world. Same thing in Israel. Israel has many parties in its Knesset. There are 120 seats there, depending on, you know, the different amount of parties that there are. They could call for an election at any time. In fact, they're calling for early elections this fall in September. Which would, you know, if Prime Minister Netanyahu doesn't have the clear backing to have a major, coalition in numbers as far as those seats, they can call for another election so that the next group will come in and they form a government. So you're seeing a lot of this. It's all about political agenda. Even in a time of war, these things still go on. And, you know, you think about that. Here's one thing I wanted to bring to your attention, too, Jim. I want to keep in mind, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Iran was attacked by Israel. Preemptive. We've seen this before.
Yep.
A preemptive attack on Israel on the nuclear facilities in Iran, and where Israel flew their jets long distances to attack. So, you know. At some point, there's a red line, and we've always talked about that red line. If Iran crosses that red line, and if Israel believes that Iran has a nuclear weapon, then definitely I think we would see a preemptive attack on Israel.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. These aid workers, about this whole thing with them, were part of the problem. And they knew they were part of the problem. They went in this thing with their eyes open. And they were giving aid and comfort to terrorists, to Israel's enemy. If they're going to worry about being safe, they need to stay out of it. Mm. Nobody asked them. Well, maybe the terrorists asked them. But anyway, why apologize over this? Killing Muslim terrorists is doing the world a favor. Who cares what a bunch of Muslims and communists think about it, including the communist fake U.S. government, telling Israel what to do all the time, demanding apologies, all this stuff. Nobody says a word of all those atrocities that those Muslims committed on October 7th.
Yeah, I don't think there are any apologies given that direction, were there?
None.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. So,
thank you.
Jimmy, your further thoughts on that issue?
Yeah, no, I agree with Brad. And, look. We've run a fine line in Christianity, and we can protect ourselves. We have the right to protect ourselves. We protect our families. We are never wanting to, you know, see these people need the Lord. I think that's first and foremost. You know, they're lost people, and there are people dying and going to hell. So I want to first start off by saying that. But I do think also that Israel, exactly, and Brad said it just right, you know, it's wartime situation. These things happen. It's collateral damage. These men, they knew what they were doing. And, when you look at their pictures, they were there for a reason. That's all I got to say.
Okay, let's go to Blanche in Ohio. Blanche, you're on the air.
Yes, they were talking about the Hamas and all them over there. Well, America and Israel are intertwined together. But they said in the Bible, one time, they're going to go against Israel. And when all of them come against Israel, that's when Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows when he's coming, but they're all coming against him and said, and we will not stand with him. They're saying she will not stand with Israel and go against her. Well, we got a government right now that's going against Israel, and they're not standing with Israel. And
okay.
They're, you know, it's just like it says in the Bible, and I know he talked about that.
Okay, Tad, thank you, Blanche. I'm going to have Brother Jimmy expound further on that. Is there coming a time when all nations of this world, including the United States, if still in existence, would be against Israel?
Great question, Jim, and she's absolutely right. The time of Jacob's trouble. We're looking at a time in the future where Israel is going to lose two-thirds of its people. That's more people than died in the Holocaust, when you look at the population of Israel. Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah 13, Zechariah chapter 14, it says all nations of the world will come against Israel. And all means all. I went to seminary to figure out all means all. So,
yeah.
You know, if the United States, and, but this doesn't happen until after the rapture of the church. So we could see a World War III. We could see World War IV. You know, there's nothing, you know, what we're looking at, and the reason that we are tightly focused on Israel, Israel has a plan and God's program, right? He's not finished with them yet. And I agree with her, those that bless Israel, I will bless. This, the Abrahamic covenant, those that curse Israel, I will curse. And if America is not careful, they could be going down that road of every other major empire that has fallen in world history. And I think that's so very important. But yeah, there is a time of Jacob's trouble. That's a seven-year period of time, the tribulation period, all designed to bring the Jewish people to an understanding knowledge of who the Messiah truly is, and that's Jesus Christ.
Let's go to Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Because the declared goal of Israel's enemies is to wipe it off the face of the earth, Israel can never lose a war because losing means it will cease to exist. That's why Israel treats every battle like a fight for survival. This attitude is reflected in its aggressive hand-to-hand combat system called Krav Maga.
Yep, you're absolutely right, and that's a good. They teach, you know, they when you're talking about a state the size of New Jersey, when you're talking about a population of 11 million in Israel against 224 million Arabs that want to wipe them off the face of the earth, yes, you've got to teach your people how to survive, and they will survive. Yes.
Let's see if we can squeeze in before the break. Faith in Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes. I am wondering how it is that we all have access to the same information, but there's such a disparity between even Christians that are so critical of Israel and we who know the truth.
Yeah, good point. You know, and this is a systematic thought process and theology, replacement theology. You know, when Israel was defeated in 70 AD and cast to the four corners of the earth, there was a theology that came along during the Reformation, Faith. And, you know, that was a theology that was taught. Even a great man in the Reformation, Martin Luther, taught that, hey, Israel is no longer, so apparently the promises that were given to Israel now are replaced by the church. It's called replacement theology. And yes, there are seminaries today, there are churches that don't see the need to support Israel or that Israel has a role in the end times.
Thank you for your call. Up against the break, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us. I've got a couple open lines, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Ramadan was observed in the Muslim world, and in Dearborn, Michigan, a couple Islamists got up and gave a speech at a big event. And what were they doing? They were calling for the destruction of Israel and America. They literally were chanting death to Israel. Then they chanted death to America. And one of the Islamic speakers called for the complete collapse of the American system. He sounded like a Marxist. He sounded like somebody from the Weather Underground. But my friends, this is the point. This is why the Islamists, represented by the green and their Islamic jihadi flags, and the red of Marxism are working together. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And now the Islamists and Marxists are openly calling for death to America and the collapse of our free society.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today from prophecytoday.com. We're talking about Israel's war against Hamas, now marking its sixth month, and taking your calls here today on the broadcast. And we're going right back to the phone lines. Diana is calling from Peoria, Arizona. Hi, Diana. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. I'm really upset today about all this stuff. I just wanted everybody to know I called off work. I will be praying all day long, and I will be fasting. Hmm. Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thank you for your call.
You know what, Jim, that's such an important call. You know, sometimes we try to make sense of everything. It's all included in God's Word. And from Genesis to Revelation, that's God's plan for the ages, for all of mankind. And sometimes we do need to just take the time to go to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
That does work.
Indeed. Joseph in Belleville, Michigan, you're on the air. Bellevue, Michigan.
Hi, Brother Jim. And a comment I just wanted to make was, you know, we have our political leaders discussing what should be the policy in regards to Israel. And I wish they would more often refer to the perspective that Israel has right and title deed by Scripture from the River Euphrates to the River of Egypt, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, and that is all their promised land, not promised to anyone else.
Hmm. Thank you for raising that, Brother DeYoung.
Yes, you know what? That was a statement that was made. That's amazing that he said that, because that was a statement that was made by a Syrian general, and he said the problem in the Middle East is that the Jews believe the Bible. You know,
wow.
that was their land. You know, initially, the world wanted to give Rwanda to Israel as a nation when the Jews were looking for places to come back and to establish a homeland. And, you know, in the Zionist Congress, and they said, nope, we know the land that God has given to us, and that's why they resettled back in that area. But you're exactly right, and that's a statement that's been made by the Muslim generals. The problem is that the Jews believe the Bible.
Let's go to Pensacola, Florida next. And Julie, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question to the guest speaker. What is Netanyahu like? Is he more conservative or like Trump is, or is he more liberal like what we have in the White House right now? Where does he stand on a lot of issues? And then one other question is, you said something about Israel having the ability to knock out all the electricity in the whole country there. Does America have that ability as well for us Americans?
Okay, two different questions.
So let's tackle the one about Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's a graduate of MIT, so he's a very intelligent man. He served in the military. His brother was killed in the raid on Entebbe. So his family, his father, they all were there living and growing up and serving in the military. He's a very intelligent man, been studied on foreign and abroad in the United States, went back. He's conservative. He's a religious Jew. He keeps the Sabbath. He has many Bible studies with religious rabbis. He's invited, and he understands the relationship between Israel and the Christians around the world. He understands their support and that Israel needs their support. I would say he's very conservative. He was very close to President Trump. Now, sometimes they have disagreed lately,
mm-hmm.
But I do know, you know, President Trump, one of the things that he did, and God uses world leaders to accomplish his will. That's Revelation 17, that President Trump moved the capital, the embassy, which was in Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem, making Jerusalem the rightful capital of the Jewish people. So, yes, they had a great relationship the time that President Trump was in office.
Let's get to the second, for sake of time, her second question had to do with this this bomb to knock out power.
You know, Jim, the three words I hate to say, I don't know.
Okay, let's go on.
I don't know about the U.S., but I do know it's a threat. Electromagnetic bombs are a threat to the United States because countries in Europe have those.
Kaya in Gaston, South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, why do so many colleges and seminaries that claim to believe the Bible and they see what's going on over in Israel and they don't make the connection that they claim to be the believe the Bible and read it and study it, why they still hold on to replacement theology and the idea that God doesn't have a future for Israel?
Okay.
And why they don't acknowledge that if God cast Israel off, why couldn't he cast them off?
Thank you, Kyle, for the call.
It's a wrong hermeneutical principle that they were taught. Most of their teachers in seminaries, I've done a lot of conferences in Europe where a lot of pastors went to covenant theological seminaries, those that came out of the Reformation. Look, these people are believers. They love the Lord. They have done tremendous works. It's just when somebody tells you something long enough, and if you see a white wall and somebody tells you it's black for a long time, it's kind of hard to change that thought process. And that's why it's very difficult when, you know, your father and your grandfather and the seminaries and the people that you respected taught you this theology. And that's why it's so very important that you use the proper hermeneutics when you're studying God's word.
Thank you for the call. We're going to squeeze Brian in, our final call from Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Jim. Jimmy Jr., it's nice to talk to you. I miss your dad. You mentioned Revelation 17:17, and it reminded me of that DVD CD series that your dad did, President's Politics. I listened to that from all, was it 10 CDs?
And then when that was an audio series, and then we have the DVD, which if you haven't seen the DVD, you should get it.
Yeah.
And then listening and reading The Case for Zionism, you know.
Tommy Ice, yeah. Tell you what, I wish I could hear you further. We're down to 5 seconds on the program. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jr., a final thought you'd like to leave.
Yes, one final thought, Jim, on this day of eclipse when people were looking for a prophetic sign. Keep looking up until.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy, for joining us today. And prophecytoday.com is a website. You got a lot of info there, don't you?
Yes, sir. We sure do.
Great. Prophecytoday.com. Friends, indeed, keep looking up. Your redemption draws nigh. And let's be faithful ambassadors of the gospel until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.